And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks here in Mobile, Alabama. DJ Bucky Rhett with you up here in the press box. And guys, just finished the first day of practice. Yep. And Buck, just I guess go big picture takeaway here so far from what you saw.
Look, really solid first day. I think the first day is always a tough day to evaluate guys because they don't have on full pads. They just have on the shorts. And you have so many nerves that are kind of affecting the play. But overall, I thought the dudes that we expected to kind of show out flashed enough to make us be like, oh, okay, yeah, they're legit.
Yeah, coming from the NFLPA game a week ago, first thing I noticed when I got here was these are just flat-out bigger dudes. Yeah. Like these, size-wise, height, weight, I mean, these are some specimens for sure. And so, I mean, at the wideout position, Mims and Pittman, I mean, looking at those two guys, cut above the rest in that way. So just kind of comparing, from one environment to another, and this is obviously the cream of the crop.
Yeah, no, this is always a great week down here. Lots of great players. We're going to get into talking about those guys here in just a second. I do want to give you a heads up, though. Some fun interviews we're going to roll on today's episode. We've got Dave Caldwell, the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've got a couple first-round picks. We've got our visit with him. We've got Terrell Lewis, the pass rusher, edge rusher, intriguing player from Alabama. He joined us. And the final conversation we're going to have is with Jordan Love, who's arguably the most intriguing player in the entire Senior Bowl. The most to gain, I would say, Buck, would you agree with me on this? The most he could help himself, a guy could help himself, is Jordan Love.
Absolutely. I think he has the most on the line in this thing because he has to kind of wipe away the feelings or what scouts feel about his final season. And the best way for him to do it is to play with a bunch of talented dudes and to show out and kind of change and rewrite the narrative that has kind of been written about him this season.
And isn't one of the things that we want to see from him is, we know he can make the wow plays, but want to see more of the consistent type of plays, even if they're not on that, very much elite level. Let's just drive it, a little more down the middle rather than too far to the left.
Well, you talk about driving it down the middle. To me, he has some. He had some special throws, especially one on ones. He was very comfortable one on ones, just airing out some deep balls. But Buck, there's a hitch. There's a hitch in this one. It's 10 feet in front of the receiver. I mean, this is a 6-yard hitch. This is junior high stuff.
Right.
And to me, when we watched the replay of it, you saw it live, then we watched the replay of it. To me, it's almost like he's trying to pull back a little bit on his arm because it can be a little bit hot at times, but then his accuracy suffered.
Yeah, I think a couple of things I want to see from Jordan Love. One, I want to see him deliver it in the strike zone consistently. Two, I want to see if he can manage the game. Like the great part of playing quarterback or the thing that separates the good from the great is they understand how to manage the game. They understand situations. They understand when to take the check down, when to force it up the field. They play kind of connect the dots ball from the quarterback position. And I want to see if he has that ability in him because when you are a gunslinger and you are prone to kind of throw it up and let your guys get it, like that's great when it works out. But the turnovers also kind of prevent you from winning games. So I want to see if he can play winning football at the position.
Yeah, I want to see him string a couple of plays together that make us go, oh, instead of just the one every four plays. Like he had a couple plays in team today, back-to-back. Watched, might have been the play you were talking about, low ball on a hook route,
that was
10 yards, and then followed that up with a duck right in the middle of the field that probably should have been picked off.
Yeah.
So, just kind of eliminating some of that stuff.
Yeah, and they were even, you'd catch some of the talking points, the teaching points they were giving him. He was trying, in his defense, to throw some anticipation on some things.
Yeah.
You're like, look, you've got to hang
that
on your back foot for a second.
Right.
Let it develop. It's an all-star game. Not throwing guys open out here. Like, get on the same page. So we'll see how he does. A lot of times you see these guys improve as the week goes along. Want to get some other big picture takeaways, though, before we get to these interviews, Buck. Position group-wise, when you kind of take it in, one day in, what position to you looked the best out there today?
It's funny because Red talked about the wide receivers, and when you look at the wide receivers in total, they're a pretty impressive group to me. Obviously, the last practice, we got a chance to see Michael Pittman do his thing, and to me, he strikes me as a legitimate number one receiver. Size, speed, the ability to catch the ball, and then just the physical nature with which he plays. Denzel Mims looked good as a route runner. And then on the other side, Van Jefferson, to me, is just really, really impressive in terms of just
clean. He was the cleanest route runner.
Just being a terrific route runner, being able to do it. And we've seen it year after year after year. somebody catches our eye down here, and then he goes on to have success in the league. Yeah. Van Jefferson is a guy that didn't hear a lot of buzz, but now I believe after people get their eyes on him amongst a big group, I think there's going to be a greater appreciation for him.
And that's kind of where my eyes were drifting today was I was kind of looking at the skill group guys, the wide receivers and the DBs. So on the DB side, you know, I came away from this game, as you guys well know, big fan of Lonnie Johnson last year, yeah, right out of Kentucky. And so when I walked up and looked eye to eye with Lamar Jackson from Nebraska.
I already know where you're going. See, this is like... This is why you're unofficially a scout,
right?
Because Buck, scouts have types. We all have types.
He likes him big with long arms.
Yeah, he likes his big long corners.
But then I left today thinking, all right, I'd like to see him make some improvement in the next couple of days. He's really good physically, initially initiating contact, and then man, he can. You know, a wide receiver gets separation pretty quick after that initially. So I'd like to see him improve a little bit. I was impressed with the corner out of Notre Dame, Pride. I thought he was really good in coverage today, especially in one-on-ones. Struggled a little bit in that one-on-one blocking drill, getting off some of the blocks of the receivers. So he was one I was really interested in. Then I saw our guy out of UCLA, Darnay Holmes.
He's competitive. He's twitched up.
Man, he was competing today.
He did not win all his reps.
He did not.
But he was always in position, and he was fighting.
Feisty,
like
man.
Crazy. And to me, when I was watching him today, guys, I'm glad you brought that up, Brett, because to me that was like, okay, he's got nickel temperament. Like,
yes,
to be a nickel, not absolutely. Only do you have to be quick and be able to mirror inside, you're a force player a lot. You've got to be competitive. There's some dirty work to do in there. He looked like he might be up to the challenge.
Well, he is very competitive, very feisty. And I think for him coming down here, because he spent most of the season battling the ankle injury, the lower leg injury, he needed to kind of let people know when he's healthy what kind of player he was.
And Nagy mentioned that. He wanted to see a little bit of that feistiness. He didn't necessarily see it on tape all year long. Last guy I'll mention is maybe the loudest guy on one-on-ones today. And that was AJ Green at Oklahoma State. He was letting everybody know that even if they caught the ball, it was either one, lucky, or two, it wouldn't happen again. So I'll be excited to see if he continues his streak tomorrow.
I'm just glad that you actually talked about Darnay Holmes, because the other two guys you talked about are over 6'1" here. So
I give some love to somebody under 6 foot. Come on.
I will say the Iowa corner stood out to me. Yeah. Michael, you have to tell me how to say his last name.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah. Yeah, so he kind of stood out to me just in terms of just just in terms of how smooth and how fluid he was on the corner. He's a guy that was impressive.
Yeah.
All right, you guys are watching the skill guys. I was watching the big guys, and I thought, man, the defensive tackle group, I can roll through some names. We saw Ajim at the game down there in Florida at the East-West game. He came in here. I thought he did a nice job. Jason Strobridge from North Carolina, your school, Buck, had a really good day, very active. Neville Gallimore, who we spoke with the other day, he's explosive and twitched up. He had a big day. But to me, the best two in show we're in the SEC, and I think what's what we expected. Javon Kinlaw is the best player here in this entire game. Did not disappoint. Rare, rare size, length, explosiveness. And then the other one, and we talked about him as well, Marlon Davidson. Marlon Davidson rushed win one over the tackle, over the guard, and over the center. It was like
everybody get a little bit.
Everybody who wants some. You want to get some? I'll give you some too.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a very, very impressive dude. And I think the thing that stands out to me when you're here, it's the first time some of these guys get a chance to play good on good. Mm-hmm. And when you see these guys have these one-on-one reps and they're able to consistently dominate, like years and years ago, we talked about Aaron Donald and the show that he put on. Mm-hmm. Last year, Montez Sweat, the show that he was able to put on. Each year, when you have the best guys, they kind of have a tendency to kind of rise to the top. And so you talk about Kinlaw and Davidson. Those guys certainly lived up to the hype that kind of preceded their arrival.
I'm also going to wear his shorts tomorrow.
I mean,
tomorrow great. Here. That's
tight,
what I'm doing. Tight, tight.
Nice licks.
Show John Stockton wore them the same way. It did not look like that.
No, you're right. You're absolutely
a little different.
Right. Yeah.
All right, let's get some of these interviews here. Yes. Some fascinating conversations. We mentioned at the top there, one of the more interesting players in the entire draft happens to be here in Mobile. We got a chance to visit with Jordan Love.
Jordan, I would guess the first question you're probably getting from most teams as you talk to them, the difference between whole new situation with you from last year to this year, all a bunch of new players, new coaching staff. How was the transition for you?
Yeah, I just describe it as it was a grind, it was work. Obviously losing coaching staff, getting a new coaching staff in, you know, losing 9 of the 11 starters on offense. So it's like the whole summer, whole season, I mean, it's been a grind, you know, just trying to get it where it needs to be, get the offense where it needs to be, you know, at just where we can, you know, perform at a high level. I feel like it started coming together towards the end of the season. You know, we just something, like I said, we were just working on all season trying to get it to that level.
So in thinking about that adversity that you faced, like trying to get so many new guys on the same page, it'd be very, very similar to being a high draft pick and coming into a situation that has been downtrodden. Why would your situation in Utah State help you be a better pro?
I think it would help me a lot. You know, obviously just the adversity I had to face throughout that year, and then you know, handled it. You know, we went 7-6. Obviously, didn't have the season we wanted to have, but you know, we did some good things this year. But obviously, it relates, you know, to the same situation coming into a new you know, team, new coaches, and new players, new faces. You got to learn all that. So similar situations.
Bucky hit on that word adversity. A lot of times, you go back through and look at guys you got right or guys you got wrong. A lot of times, kids haven't been through any adversity at the college level, even on the field, off the field. The first time that hits in the NFL level, they don't know how to handle it. You've had tremendous adversity, as you mentioned, on the field. Also, you had tremendous adversity off the field. How were you able to get through some of those difficult moments?
Yeah, I mean, I've had, like, you look at my life, I've had a lot of adversity in my life. Obviously, my dad passing away when I was 14, that was, you know, that was the biggest step of adversity that I had to face, and you know, handle that. And the way I look at it, I mean, I can handle that. I can handle anything else. Nothing's going to be as hard as that was. So, you know, all these other things are minor things. Yeah, like I said, I can handle adversity. It's something that, you know, I wouldn't want to happen. But you know, if that situation comes about, I can handle it.
You know, thinking about handling things, we've seen the National Football League is undergoing an evolution at the quarterback position. We're seeing more guys with athleticism and these traits where they can run it. Looking at your background, you played basketball, you dabbled in gymnastics when you were little. How would those other sports help you be a better player at the next level?
Yeah, I think it all ties into, I mean, your athletic ability. You know, just the more you can do, the better you're going to be. You know, they have different elements, you know, to being a leader in different areas of sports. You know, some are individual sports, some are team sports. You know, you just got to learn. But I think, you know, the more sports you can play, the more, you know, of an athlete you can be, the more, you know, diverse you can be. So
hold up, man. Gymnastics, I got to know more about gymnastics. Tell me, like, what, like, is this like I can do, like, a cartwheel, a somersault, or is this like, are we talking like back handsprings? Like, what are we talking about?
No, this is when I was real little. My little sister, she was really good at gymnastics. So, you know, my mom, she was like, you know what, put you in gymnastics for a little bit. So I tried it for a year. Definitely not something that.
Okay, so we've got to oversell this. I think I got Mary Lou Retton over here. It's just you doing a somersault as a 4-year-old.
They tried to put me in the splits, and I couldn't do it. And I was like, you know, this is the breaking point for me. I'm gonna have to go. Tried it.
So it's funny because I'm sure you will hear this as we continue to go forward. We talked about the evolution of the National Football League. There have been some comparisons made between you and Patrick Mahomes. When you've seen Patrick Mahomes, is there any little bit of his game that might be in your game?
Yeah, I mean, I just look at a guy like Patrick Mahomes. I mean, crazy arm strength, you know, crazy, you know, just ability to throw the ball, you know, different angles and stuff like that. I think I have that. You know, that's where I see similarities, and you know, just being able to make plays, you know. You know, like I said, throwing it, you know, sidearm, you know, throwing crazy deep passes, just being able to make plays. I mean, that's where I think you can compare us, and I feel like that, you know, I'm comparable to him in that aspect.
Well, the first tape that I watched studying you over the summer was watching you against Michigan State last year. Yeah. You had a throw in that game that's as good as anybody's had in this entire draft. That's one of the best throws that I've ever seen against Michigan State, the one down the field. Can you recall, A, what the play call was, what you saw, and how you executed on that one?
Which play are you talking about?
That's a deep one. I want to say you were rolling to the left.
Yeah, it was. So, yeah, I mean, the play, it was 69 posts. So, I mean, I had my post wheel from the outside shooters. I had a stick route from number 3. So I got off that, you know, DN, you know, beat the tackle inside. So I had to get out the pocket, started rolling, saw my wheel downfield, you know, kind of just threw a sidearm. Ended up not being able to complete the catch. Yeah, so
it was ridiculous. So now I want to ask you about one more because I'm watching the LSU game this year. I want to say it's right before, it's in the second quarter, towards the end of the second quarter, you hit a corner out going over to the left that was dropped in that game as well. Do you remember what the call was there and what you saw? Unfortunately, all these highlights don't end with the guy catching the football, Jordan, but they were amazing throws.
I can't even think. You said a corner route?
I believe it was a corner route. It was about 2 or 3 minutes before halftime. I think this one you were going to the right and hit a corner route downfield.
I know during the LSU game I had scrambled to the right on one.
Might even have been a post coming across.
It was a slant, and when I scrambled, my receiver, CLC, he kind of turned it into like a deep kind of like a corner.
Yeah.
Threw it over top, but he caught it.
Did he catch that one?
It was one-handed.
Okay.
He hurt his shoulder on that play, but yeah, no, that was okay. That's what we're talking about now. That was a good one.
I think it might have even have been a post that had been dropped in that game at some point.
Over the middle, yeah.
Yeah, so all the things that you guys are describing, just in listening to the conversation, it speaks to a gunslinger's mentality. Mm-hmm. And gunslingers are ones who are fearless, they're courageous, they continue to throw into tight windows regardless of turnovers and the like. How do you maintain that aggressive mentality even if you've had some mistakes early in the game?
Being a gunslinger, especially going off this year, a lot of mistakes. But, you just got to be able to, stay confident and, that I can make the throws. Obviously, just situational, get smarter on decisions I need to make, not force the ball when I don't need to, but, still have just that confidence to be able to make those throws.
Man, it's been fun to watch you, continue to grow. I know this year you talk about all those new pieces around you. But look, we can't judge what the other results are. We can judge how you perform. Man, you're an exciting player to watch. Is there any one goal this week here at the Senior Bowl you're looking to get accomplished?
Honestly, I just want to show, what I can do. I think a goal for me, just be able to learn this offense and, perfect it. Obviously, it's going to be something new, being under center and stuff like that, something I didn't do at Utah State, but something that I can do, and I just want to be able to show that I can do it.
I just look forward to getting you in a pro system. Mm-hmm. So when you think about the opportunity to play in a pro-style system, something that's different than what you were at Utah State, what do you think the challenges will be this week in learning a new offense and how you expect to overcome those challenges?
I'm not sure what, obviously the challenges for me, just learning the plays. I don't think that's something that'll be a problem with me, just being able to learn in a quick time. But I think the football part, I think I'll be fine with that. I don't think I'll have any challenges with that. So just go out there and play.
Well, we're looking forward to it, man. Thank you for your time today. We'll be catching up with you probably at the combine and your pro day, all the way through the whole process. Yes, thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Buck, listening to Jordan Love, I think he's got his head in a good place coming into this week. We talked to him before the first practice. We got a chance to visit with him after this practice. He knows he needs to clean up some of the timing things, and hopefully we see steady progression through the week.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Look, I am always with quarterbacks, going to give them the full benefit of the doubt until they get to the game. After last year watching Daniel Jones kind of struggle early but then turn it on late and win MVP of the game, I think you have to give them that opportunity to develop the chemistry and the rapport with their wideouts, get comfortable learning a new offense, and to kind of settle in so they can show us their talents.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the improvement. I think that's something that we can throw into our evaluation as well. How do they take coaching? How do they take it and then bring it back out on the field later in the week?
Yep.
Something to look forward to there with Jordan Love. We're going to get to another player interview in just a minute, but let's go to our conversation that I had with Jacksonville Jaguars general manager David Caldwell. Going to be a very interesting offseason for that franchise. And Dave, a fascinating year for you guys. You have a great rookie class. The season doesn't necessarily go the way that you want, and then you mix in a big-time trade that you make during the fall. What was the season like for you?
Well, there was a lot of adversity, I'd say that. When we start the season with your quarterback you spent all offseason with, and he goes down after 11 plays into the season, and I think majority of people felt like hope was lost at that point in time. And then all of a sudden we have this player, Gardner Minshew, that was at the Senior Bowl last year and comes in and plays tremendous football for a rookie quarterback, and this is a kid that had over 20 touchdown passes, very low interception rate, and really won more games than any rookie quarterback in this class. So we were excited about that.
It wasn't the only rookie contributor. Obviously, your first round pick. I want to go back to the draft because I remember watching it unfold and thinking, I cannot believe Josh Allen is falling in your lap at this point in time. Was there a feeling? When did you guys realize that this is the legitimate possibility that he was going to be there when you picked?
Well, we felt like there was two trigger points in the draft, and that was the Raiders and it was the Giants. Yeah. And we felt like if the Giants were going to go quarterback, that we would get a good positional player to come to us, whether it was Josh Allen or somebody else. And then obviously the Raiders were an unknown. So if they bypassed on Josh, we felt like Tampa was going to go linebacker, and then coming to nine that he would have been there for us. So that was kind of a scenario that we didn't think was likely to happen. And there was always a chance of teams kind of jumping up in front of you for, obviously, for a pass rusher that you felt like could be a guy that could contribute for a long period of time.
Do you know how sometimes when you get those guys at their first rookie minicamp, sometimes you know right away, other times it takes a while, you get into training camp. At what point in time did you realize, okay, this guy's as advertised?
Well, Josh was interesting because he got hurt in our rookie minicamp. So we were like, oh, here we go again. But it was a minor deal, and he just needed some rest. And like a lot of these rookies, they go on the whole banquet tour for, you know, the spring, and they come into rookie minicamp and not in top shape and no fault of their own. But we had to rest him through really a lot of OTAs and in a training camp and bring him along slowly. And he came along a little bit slower than probably you would have liked out of your first round pick. Yeah. But then when he hit the ground running and come week one, he actually had a sack, I think, in week one that got called back. It was a sack fumble on Patrick Mahomes. And then he just kind of took off. And then under the tutelage of Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue, those three guys really got after the passer well this year.
I want to talk to you a little bit about team building philosophy, because we saw this nugget the other day I thought was fascinating. They track, you know, with the GPS, with the next gen stats, you know, speed with the ball in your hands, and the two fastest teams in the NFL are the two teams playing in the Super Bowl.
Sure.
You've got a team with a lot of athleticism, a lot of speed, but is that focus continue to narrow in, as you're saying, these teams that run are the good teams?
Well, absolutely. You have to have speed on both sides of the ball, and when you see where the direction the game's going, and you see great talented quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes that can get out of the pocket, and Lamar Jackson, and in our division, Deshaun Watson and Ryan Tannehill, and all those guys can move and hurt you on their feet. So you better have somebody to chase them down. Yeah. And then on the offensive side of the ball, the same is you have to have playmakers and guys that can put the ball in the end zone.
No doubt. I want to get to the trade real quick. Jalen Ramsey, obviously, organizational decision. You guys decide to move on from a great player that you selected. With it comes a nice return, though. So I know it's hard to not play with him during the season. But at this point in time, you look at this draft class, you've got a lot of capital. What are you looking to get accomplished in this offseason?
Obviously, we need to make the most of it. We lost a great player and a guy that that played great football for us. He's a three-time Pro Bowler, and obviously you never want to see those guys leave your building. But it is what it is, and he did. And we weren't going to do it unless we felt like we can get capital where we can become a better team in the future with it. Mm-hmm. It was a tough decision. It was something that everybody was involved in. And at the end of the day, we feel good going into this draft and next draft with a lot of extra capital.
Well, there's a good bunch of good players here. When you look at guys like Debo Samuel playing in this game last year, coming out and having a big-time impact, your guy Gardner Minshew mentioned him, the impact he's had. How has it become easier for these younger players, where it used to be a, you know, 2-3 year process to get them up and running, where you're seeing immediate impact right away?
That's a fair question. And I don't know if it's the game in college has kind of transformed into the NFL, or if it's just opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I think these guys, just given the opportunity, they make the most of it. And sometimes back when we first started scouting, that your first round pick would barely even play. You know, they would have
Terrell Suggs didn't start for us.
That's right. So then second round pick, maybe he might play a little bit. As now you're trying to look at your first, second, third round picks coming in and being impact players for you. So I think it's probably that a lot of teams have needs and these guys are getting opportunities.
We've asked a bunch of college coaches. We've got fascinating answers on this. Was the best high school football player that you have ever seen. So these guys, and the names have been unbelievable. We've heard Allen Iverson was one of them.
Sure.
Frank Gore, for anybody that recruited down in that area of the country, everybody says Frank Gore for what he was. How about you, though? We can do it either high school or college, but just somebody you saw as a young player that was the best at that age that you'd seen.
That's fair. Well, I remember seeing Jadeveon Clowney's highlight tape when he was a senior in high school. And we were in Atlanta at the time, and I was like, I'd take him right now. But that was one that really stuck out to me. And then college, I'd have to go back just as a player. Boy, Reggie Bush. I mean, when we were scouting USC back in the day, he was...
I overgraded him, by the way. Did you?
I think everybody probably overdid, but you can't take away what he did at USC and his talents there.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. He's still the most electric college football player that I've ever seen. All right, last thing, then I'll let you run here. Senior Bowl week here in Mobile.
You have a favorite spot? Like, what is your staff spot or your go-to every year down here?
That's a fair question. Probably Wenzel's, I would say.
Okay.
I think that's the...
Although for
me, it's not because I'm allergic to shellfish.
So. Okay.
but I enjoy the camaraderie and the atmosphere there, and it's a great place, and it's a historic landmark here.
Do we know if the Cowboys still take over Ruth's Chris? Do we know that?
I'm sure they do.
I think that's Jerry's spot. Everybody's got their spot down here. Man.
Although recently I've been going to Ruth's Chris once. I try to get together with a couple of GMs across the league, and we'll do it tonight. And it seems like there's a lot of NFL personnel there.
Well, if I don't see him here, just do me one favor, because Marty Miller, one of your scouts and one of our good lifelong friends here, got me into the Mediterranean Sandwich Shop down Dauphin Street. And it's been my go-to for like 10 years.
Well, you won't see him here.
Okay, so he's not going to be here. Well, when you talk to Marty, tell him that I'll be having my hummus in his honor.
He has to make it back from Hawaii. We gave him the honor of going to the Hula Bowl this year. Geez. So,
jeez, Marty, really roughing it there. Thanks, Dave.
No problem. Thanks, Daniel.
Well, Rhett, when you look at the Jags and what they're able to accomplish, I know the record wasn't great. I know some people are probably surprised that David Caldwell was brought back.
And Doug Marrone.
Doug Marrone was brought back. But when you look at this recent draft class, you look at the capital they have based off the Jalen Ramsey trade, this could be a quick turnaround there in Jacksonville.
Well, especially because of the talent that's there. And you talked about, I think in your mock draft, you had him going defense once again, right? In the back end and pairing them with Josh Allen. And I mean, and then once again, you're talking about a defense with a ton of high-end talent, even though they've jettisoned some of that in the last year or two with Jalen Ramsey gone. So I'd love to see, you know, a few more playmakers on the offensive side of the ball as well. But yeah, I mean, this is a team with the talent to get right back into things.
I'd like to see him find an identity and stick with it, whatever that identity is on offense. I mean, you went from a team that was kind of a ground-and-pound team to then they kind of wanted to throw it around the yard a little bit with Nick Foles and Gardner Minshew. So can they find an identity that suits their talent, and can they do it quickly in a year? Can they do it in this offseason and then put it on play on field? Because obviously Doug Marrone, David Caldwell, they're kind of on the hot seat entering the season.
Yeah, well, they've got one player they need to try and lock down. Yannick Ngakoue is up, who's been a very, very good football player.
Sounds like
for them.
That was a priority with Dave.
No doubt.
And rightly so.
No doubt. An outstanding pass rusher. However, if you want to add some more pass rushers to the stable there, an interesting guy you might think of is a guy in Terrell Lewis. Flashes of him early in his career at Alabama, but has not been able to stay healthy. This year, finally made it through the whole season. It wasn't what he wanted to put out there, but you could see the glimpses of what he can become, and it was one of the reasons we wanted to sit down with him. Here's our conversation with Alabama edge rusher Terrell Lewis.
All right, Buck, excited to be joined by one of the best athletes in this year's draft class, regardless of position, and Terrell Lewis. And Terrell, first of all, I'd just love to know the adversity that you've been able to go through during your college career, and some people might look at that as a negative, but how has that helped you in the long run?
I think it played a tremendous effect on me as a learning curve, like as far as just learning a lot from it, going through it, and kind of it teaches you a lot more off the field than on, in my opinion, just as far as going through it, learning the process of things, and just making sure if you set a goal you want to achieve it, you're going to have to basically persevere through all the adversity you go through.
And so going into your final season, you're finally able to get back on the field. What were some of the things that you wanted to display to scouts? And did you feel like you accomplished all that you wanted to on the field?
Yeah, I wanted to display that I was durable, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, lasting throughout the whole season, then also just being able to compete at a high level consistently and show that, okay, he's back to being his normal self as far as competing-wise. He's competitive, obviously, and then just being able to show scouts that I'm versatile as far as being able to play at the edge, play my hand in the dirt, play standing up as a rushing end, rushing at a three technique at times, making plays from there, playing stack backer, playing in, basically a Mike linebacker and dime and dropping in coverage, making plays and tackles in space. So basically just show off my versatility, show off my durability, and just show my ability to basically compete and always want to win. So
I want to know who your favorite basketball player is, because I'm looking at you and how long and rangy and athletic you are, and I'm sure there's some people wondering, man, how did you not even end up on the hardwood as athletic as you are? So who was your favorite basketball player before we get to football player?
Kobe.
Yeah. Why?
His mentality.
Mamba mentality.
Yeah, him. That's kind of, he played a part in why I wear 24, along with it being like my little sister's birthday. It was August 24th, but I always honor Kobe, like the way he go about his business, the way he, you know what I'm saying, attacks things, and he thinks about the game deeper than just, oh, I'm better than you. It's like a lot of fine details that makes it, like, every, you can tell with Kobe, every decision is calculated when he plays, and that's kind of how I try to approach the game.
So now, a few years ago, didn't Nick Saban have Kobe talk? So how impactful was that with you?
If you ask anybody, that was probably the only person that I met in person that really made me feel like a fan. So when I met him, even when he was like kind of talking to us, I was asking a bunch of questions, because at the time I was going through my injury, and I was trying to kind of pick his brain about how he deal with his body, how he feels about injury, stuff like that. And then afterwards, getting to meet with him, talk to him a little bit while we took a picture and stuff like that, that was awesome too. And then kind of telling him, like, hey, you know what I'm saying, I read your book, stuff like that, all those type of things. It was cool. It just kind of made me feel like a little kid.
That's phenomenal, man. I enjoyed watching it this year, and we saw, you talked about being durable, being out there, being available for your team. When I talk to folks back at Alabama, they say, look, yeah, he got back on the field, but there's still a lot more. Like, you can take this thing to a whole nother level. What does that mean?
To me, that means like I truly feel like I'm nowhere near the ceiling that I have potential-wise as far as working my way back. I feel like this is my first year back being on the field for a full year, and it's been a minute since I played that long, basically. So I think knowing that, I know my potential is so much higher, and then going through what I went through, I learned so much as far as how to attack the process, how to play a long season, stuff like that, learn my body, stuff like that. So I think I learned so much to where it's nothing but room to grow, basically, for me, especially going through all that type of stuff.
So one of the things we hear frequently come out of Alabama is trust the process when it comes to the way you guys go about your practice week. So taking what you learned at Alabama, how you apply those principles to this week down at the Senior Bowl?
Just knowing that basically every day is a daily grind, especially Alabama early on, I feel like this environment kind of makes you feel just like a freshman at Alabama again, being around a bunch of talented players, being around a bunch of guys that they're the best at their school, best in their area, best in their conference, stuff like that. It makes you feel like you're back at Alabama when you first walk into campus and you meet everybody and you're like, oh, okay, this is the top guy from so-and-so. And he was the Under Armour All-American, stuff like that, 5-star. So just being in that environment, you're kind of prepared to go compete against the best athletes, and you're not really, in a sense, nervous about it. You kind of embrace the challenge and kind of just ready to compete.
All right, well, we talked a little bit before we went on, and trust me, the offensive line is not going to see this because we're going to hold it until then. But you said you're going to hit them with a little speed to power in the first one-on-one rep. Mm-hmm. So I want you to just do us a solid, because we'll be, you know, Bucky will be down there on the sideline. I'm going to be up there in the booth looking down on you. But after you win that first rep with speed to power, right, just a little pat of the chest, and we know you're talking about us. Okay? We know.
A little dedication.
Because they're not going to be ready. They're not going to be ready for it. All right, yeah. We cannot wait to watch you compete, man. You're a fun player.
Appreciate it.
Nice job.
Well, Red, I know the first day was not wasn't a great showing for Terrell Lewis. I think he'd probably like to be a little bit better, and we'll see how he goes through the week. But, man, he might be the first one off the bus. That is a pretty-looking dude, yeah, man.
We've talked about those first guy off the bus types. We had one over at the NFLPA game and a D2 prospect. I mean, this then coming in here and seeing Terrell Lewis, it's like, my goodness. I mean, kind of reminds you of the Tanao Passanio, out of Villanova a little while ago. Those type of guys that just look the part. Now, you know, can you do more than pass the eye test? And we'll
make some plays. Yeah. Need to see him make some plays, Buck.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Like, you need to see him make plays. You need to see him kind of show out. To me, I thought he was a guy that they didn't allow him to fully rush the pass. I saw him dropping coverage, and that certainly wasn't very, very natural for him. I think the big thing is going to be for a scout and a coach to be able to kind of have a clear plan for what they want to
do
with
him. Where do you want to put him?
How do you want to use him?
Down in, down out.
How do you max out his talents? How can he fit? I think for a lot of people, fit and scheme is important, but for him, it's really, really important.
Well, boys, I think we made it through day one here. It's great to catch up with you guys after practice.
Let's put the pads on, shall we? I mean, let's go full. Let's full pad.
Mm-mm. We'll have fun here.
No pass for me. Y'all can have a pass.
We can thud up. We don't need to pad up. We can thud up. But it is fun, man. It's one of our favorite weeks. Great having all of us together here. We're always in different locations, so to be all together is great. We've got Bartlett here, running the show here along with Nabil. Well, let's be honest. Nabil's running the show. Bartlett's just hanging out.
He's sitting in the corner.
Just hanging out in the the corner. I mean,
he's checking to see how he can get to Miami.
That's because there's no Pitt State players here this year. So,
Nabil, how did the Packers season end up? I'm sorry.
Well, you can't see him right now, but he just fainted. Okay, he just fainted.
We love you, Nabil. We love you, Nabil.
All right,
all right, man. Yeah,
that's gonna do it for us here. Thank you guys so much for downloading the show. If you have any questions for us, again, leave them Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review. Drop a question there. We'll be sure to answer it in an upcoming episode. We'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks.